Well, the first thing that we've got to do is cast away our guest. And our guest tonight is one of Raven Radio's founders, Steph Steffen, been on the board for more than 30 years. So, Steph, the first thing that we're going to do is cast you away. And so that means the storm is going to be coming. And once the castaway happens, then we'll be looking for your 10 songs that you would keep on a deserted island. But I think the storm looks like it's really closing in now. So batten down the hatches. Uh-oh.
No.
Sounds like the boat is going down. Steph is a shipwright and apparently couldn't save the boat this time and is now in the ocean. Well, Steph, you've landed on the island, and the first thing we want to do is say welcome to your deserted island.
Thank you. I'm appreciative of the white sand that you provided for me over here.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the island. You can draw it. It's one of the things you get to do. Are you going to be an island down in the Bahamas or maybe an island up here in the Southeast Alaskan area? What kind of island do you want?
So I actually have a choice.
We're going to let you design your island.
I would go for the tropics because we can always set foot on an island in Southeast, right, or along the coast of Alaska. So I'm going for a warm environment with enough sand to where you can get ashore without being totally, chewed up by the rocks, that kind of thing.
Good thinking.
And some greenery.
Are there monkeys on the island?
I don't know yet. I have to look around.
Well, Steph, we challenge you to come up with the 10 songs, and only 10, that you would choose to have if you were going to be stranded perhaps forever. Mm. And so you've brought the 10 songs in. And, Rachel, I don't know if I mentioned this, but, Steph, along with almost everybody else that has been cast away, did include the hope that maybe there could be more than 10.
That's not uncommon.
We do have the 10. Yeah. And first off, Steph, when you built this list, did you find it to be enjoyable, easy, or was it enjoyable and hard, or just kind of all around foul? How was the task that you put?
No, it was pretty fun, actually, but it took me a little while to kind of get in the mode of thinking of music that was meaningful to me. It's sort of like, okay, you're on a desert island. What tunes would you want? Like tunes that portrayed your life so that, if nobody came to rescue you, that would be the end. And those tunes would be like your segue into the next world. Or would you just want music to help you run around and not go crazy? So. Mm-hmm. So I chose.
Which path did you choose, or is this a little of both?
Yeah, actually, it is a little of both because I start out with some old tunes that, because I just had this retirement party and I've been thinking a lot about Raven Radio. My first couple of songs were tunes that harken way back to when we were trying to get the station on the air, and we are doing benefits, and we are bringing in musicians and doing concerts and having really cool interactions with those people. So I was living on my sailboat at the time, and this first artist stayed on the boat, and I got to sit there and talk to him, So it's kind of some deja vu in the beginning, and then actually most of these tunes are kind of deja vu tunes. They're just favorites from over the years.
We'll play that first song and probably the second song since they're related, and then maybe we'll come back and we'll talk about that sailboat and your time. But before we go into this song, tell us a little bit about what it was like to sit with this fellow and look him in the eye and talk with him. Describe him just a little bit and who it is.
Oh, well, it was Ramblin' Jack Elliott, and he was a legend at that time, of course, and I just remember, like, not believing he was actually there, sitting across the galley table in the Moclips with me. But he was a super cool guy. He was very low-key. He was really excited to be in Alaska. He had never really been on a sailboat before, so that was pretty cool for him, too. So, yeah, it was a humbling moment, and it was also like, I don't know, just really exciting to be exposed to somebody who you kind of knew was like a, you know, milestone in the blues and stuff like that. Yeah, so it's really hard to describe how I felt, except to say that I was in awe, pretty much. And I was really glad he was comfortable and happy to be where he was. So, yeah, so Ramblin' Jack. Yeah, amazing, amazing guy.
Twilight glow, I see her. Blue eyes crying in the rain. And as we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember. Only memories remain. Through the ages I'll remember blue eyes crying in the rain. Silver, all my life I've loved in vain. I can see her star in heaven, blue eyes crying in the rain. Someday when we meet up yonder, we'll stroll hand in hand again in a land that knows no parting. Blue eyes crying in the rain.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears while we all sup sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song, the sigh of the weary. Hard times come again no more. Many days you have lingered around my cabin door. Oh, hard times come again no more.
Red Clay Ramblers there with Hard Times Come No More. And before that, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. And those are the first two of the 10 songs that our castaway guest, Raven Radio founder, one of Raven Radio founders, Steph Steffen, has selected for his castaway island. And Steph, you mentioned that those were artists that came to Sitka?
Right. Yeah, in our early years, we were bringing music to town. Usually we had performances in the Harrigan Centennial Hall, and we were using revenues from those performances to kind of, you know, make money for the radio station and also just to have fun. And I recall that it was a fair bit of work, and we reached a point in time after doing this for a couple of years where we realized our resources would probably best go into making radio, but we sure had fun at it. And
well, you did concerts, like with Ramblin' Jack Elliott and Red Clay Ramblers, but you did dances and bake sales as well, right?
Yeah, all kinds dances. Of dances. Yeah, we had contra dances. You know, how often did we do those? Probably every 2 to 4 weeks over on Japonsky Island at the old the Totem Club, which was the old officers' club on the island that later was a daycare center when we were using it, and they were gracious and let us use it at no cost or $25 or whatever it was. So we'd have contra dances, potlucks, and, you know, pick up bands and pass the hat around and, you know, make $50
Well, let's. What year was this? In fact, we'll couch that question and what year it was in this question. Hmm. What brought you to Sitka?
Well, I came up here on my sailboat, and I was kind of just roaming around. I settled into Juneau my first winter because I had an old college friend there who had arranged a place to tie the boat up, which, you know, was kind of a big deal in those days because the stalls are all reserved and everything. And that's where I met Marika Partridge and the bunch of staff at K2 Community Radio. And it was really a fun group, and I just got sucked into that whole group. And Marika did a morning show, and I remember we ride our bikes in from the boat harbor to the radio station on, what was that street, Third and Main, I think it was, Third and something, the old building. And, I got restless because Juneau was, I was a shipwright by trade, and Juneau didn't have a whole lot going on that in that respect. There was a shipyard, and somebody had a business going there, and so got on the boat and spent the summer cruising around Southeast and wound up in Sitka, and a few things came together for me here. There was demand for my skills. So if I could just ask right
about that first time you sailed into Sitka Sound, which direction did you come from? When did you first lay your eyes on Sitka? Do you remember that moment and what you felt, or is that kind of all together in the jumble of the time on the water?
I do remember coming in. We came in from, you know, Peril Straits, you know, from the north. Mm-hmm. And what I remember, let's see, one of my first images of Sitka was coming down, you know, from Olga Neva Straits, and as you come along the waterfront. I think this might even be before C-Mart was there, but there were these trailer parks on the waterfront. And I'm going, oh, that's amazing. Like the people that live in trailers can afford a waterfront here in Sitka. You know? But
did you have music on your sailboat?
Yeah. I had a cassette deck and, some recordings that we'd made, you know, here and there along the way, and some in Juneau.
Did you play an instrument?
I played a little percussion, but no, I've never really played a serious instrument.
I dabble in percussion myself, but I would say that I play a tape deck.
I can beat on a tape deck all day.
So
Then
a little bit about your sailboat.
What's the name of your boat?
Oh, well, it was called the Moclips. And it was a ferro cement center cockpit gaff cutter. So for those, you know, out there that know a little bit about sailboats, it's a single-masted traditional rig that built the hull down on the coast of Washington and then rigged it in Port Townsend and rigged it in a traditional way, really kind of old-fashioned rigging. And had sails made, you know, in that area, tan bark gaff sails. And it was not a fast boat, but it was a good solid cruiser. Got us up here, myself and a bunch of friends, you know, that kind of connections I'd made over the years building the boat. And like I said, I had a good friend, Alex, in Juneau, and that's pretty much the reason we settled into Juneau. But we had a great summer that year coming up through the Inside Passage, you know, and took like 2 months to get up here from Seattle area.
Wow.
Let's dive back into the music a little bit. Up next on your list is a song called Gotta Have You, and wondering if maybe this cassette was on the boat.
Let me see. I've been a Stevie Wonder fan for many years. I'm not sure if I had that particular song on the boat then, but, you know, I did the Good Day Radio show here for years, and I would always try to work in a Stevie Wonder song, you know, because he's so up, you know. I just love how up Stevie is, and he's got a crystal clear voice and all that, so.
Well, he's got a lot of music. How did you come up with this one tune from Stevie Wonder?
It's just a really catchy tune. That's all I can say is it's just, I don't know. I can't explain why I like it, except it's really upbeat and catchy.
You are a sacred soul. just like a hawk. I don't mind the way you talk, but if you touch me, something's got to give. I live the life of love, and I love the life I live. My diamond ring and my money too. Tomorrow night they could belong to you. The girls move me at their will. I live the life of love, and I love the life I live. I may lay 100 on a bet this time. Tomorrow night I can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel. You see me rocking as I pass you by. Don't talk about me, cause I could be high. Just forgive me if you will. I live the life I love, and I love the life I live. On a bet this time. Tomorrow night I can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel. You see me rocking as I pass you by. Don't talk about me, cause I could be high. Just forgive me if you will. I live the life of love, and I love the life I live.
And that song from Mose Allison, I Love the Life I Live, I Live the Life I Love. I think I got all that right. And before that, a tune from Stevie Wonder to bring us near the middle of the list of 10. And Rachel likes it when we get to the middle, because when we get to the middle is when we have dessert.
That's right. It's dessert time. So tell us a little bit about why you chose this song from Mose Allison.
Well, Mose has got he's a little jazzy, and he's just so laid back. I don't know. It's funny to have to explain, you know, why you pick music, because some of it is like, I don't really know.
You mentioned, well, yeah.
It's like, I like this song. I've always liked it or something, you know.
Well, right.
Funny to be quizzed.
You mentioned that you did the Good Day Show, a morning variety show on Raven Radio.
Right.
And I moved to Sitka in 1990. To work at Raven Radio as chief announcer, and you were not doing radio then, so it must have been early mid '80s.
Yeah, it was '80s. I think I must have done the Good Day Show for, oh boy, it had to have been 4 or 5 years anyway, maybe more. I'm not sure.
Tell me a little bit about how you went about doing your show. Did you have everything all written out, and you sat here and played everything in order, or did you do it differently?
Well, I have a confession to make. I'm probably not one of those really highly organized volunteers who writes his whole show out or her whole show out days in advance. I would come in and grab a stack of records and just start picking records and trying to make them segue. You know, and it wasn't really relaxing. You know, sometimes you'd be going, oh, and then be cueing a record. No, that's not quite the cut I want,
yep.
You know, and cueing another cut on a record. And so, but it was kind of like the stimulus. I'd get all wound up and I would just have a lot of fun at it. And sometimes I would have to run back out into the record library and grab something else because the flow wasn't going where I wanted it to. But yeah, I'd be a really poor example. You know, if you're training volunteers around here, you probably wouldn't teach them to do it the way I did it, because it was a little, I think they were good shows and all that, but not a lot of prep, you know.
You get good at the, what do you call it? The cold cue or whatever? Where you don't even get to listen to it. You just have to kind of do it as it's coming on.
Or I would just drop the needle like it on the, in the middle of the track and go, yeah, that's what I want, you know, and then cue it up, you know. It's like there was just a sound, maybe a lyric, you know, or whatever. It kind of knew, you know, it would always be based on artists I like, but I wasn't always sure which song,
right.
Yeah, which song would flow best from what I had just played. So
you did some jazz shows too, right?
Yeah, I did a show called Fusion Jazz, you know, kind of like crossover jazz for probably 2 or 3 years, and that was an evening show. I'm not sure what night of the week it was. It might have been a Wednesday night show, but yeah, I did that for a few years. Enjoyed, you know, like branching out into jazz, because I'd never really played jazz before, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a pop music, you know, guy up until then. And so I kind of went from Pat Metheny and Lyle Mays to the Yellow Jackets, you know, and that was fun, just discovering the whole variety of music that was coming out of the jazz world at that time. So, yeah, so I did that for a few years.
What do you know about the record library and how that was generated? We have tens of thousands of long play vinyl records, LPs. Mm-hmm. And when the doors opened, how many were they? How did we get them? Do you know?
Well, you know, we hired Jake Schumacher to be our first music director, and Jake was really?
Wait, what's a music director?
Yeah, it's something we don't have anymore.
Yeah, that's not a position we have anymore. That's right. Those were the glory days, I guess. But when you're putting a station on the air, it's great to have that staff position, because you need someone to kind of help kind of create your library.
To make sure there's the variety and things like that.
And Jake was good at that. He knew, mm-hmm. he really had a deep knowledge of music. And he was really good at writing recording companies and getting them to give us free music. And so I think that's the reason we have such an eclectic library, is really because of Jake and his desire to make sure we had the whole spectrum, you know. Mm-hmm. And then if someone, one thing I do remember about Jake is if he had a volunteer who was really into a genre, he would encourage them to make lists of records for him to try to get. So we might have someone doing a show, you know, over a period of a few years, and, you know, growing that section of the library, you know, based on that interest. Jake's interest was Irish music, so we had lots of Irish music, but we had, yeah, just everything, you know. And Jake was kind of a, you know, he was into traditional music, so we had lots of folk, you know, just like all the really popular artists. We had some representation of everybody. So yeah, my hat's off to Jake and his partner Mary. The two of them, you know, we kind of got a 2-for-1 out of Jake and Mary because they both put in lots of time at Raven Radio.
Mary, Leandra now worked as the production director, another position that we don't have, as is the chief announcer when I got here. Position. I think we had eight or nine employees when I arrived here in 1990, and that went down due to state cuts pretty quick to 5. That was one of the things that I was part of, is reconfiguring how the station could operate with only 5 people.
Wow.
So we've been operating like that since the early 90s, actually.
Yeah, you did a good job of that. It was neat to be able to start out with all those positions, because we were able to, like, be really fully fleshed out in the beginning. And then it was a little easier to downsize than to try to figure out how to do really good radio and not have all the resources, you know. So, but yeah, there was a lot of state money in the early days, and Raven's done a great job of adapting to the fiscal climate. But yeah, so that's how our library got to be the way it is. And I think we're probably one of the few stations that has all this vinyl still.
Yeah, I think
we're
so.
Into our vinyl.
And there were generous donations from folks around town and from other radio stations. KTOO up in Juneau donated the first album and many others. Huh. You mentioned Marika Partridge on the sailboat down here, and she was the first program director for Raven Radio. Any memories of the program director position or Marika and what her energy was like getting this place going? I mentioned that because it sounds like the next song on your list might have some memories with Marika wrapped up with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tribute to her because I met her in Juneau. She was working at K2 at the time. And as I mentioned, we'd kind of ride our bikes from the boat harbor into the station for the morning show. I think it was kind of the equivalent of Good Day Show. And, well, she's a very energetic person, was then, still is, helped get the station on the air. In fact, you know, when we were trying to put Raven on the air, I basically was a worker bee, and she was like a grant-writing bee. And as a team, I think we were able to get the state and federal funding we got. We did have a board of directors, but she was really the person who got out there and did the grant writing. You know, we met Rich McClure at this NFCB conference in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we were trying to figure out how you get a station on the air, and we were talking to all these people, and we meet this fellow, this loud, boisterous, kind of, you know, very knowledgeable guy, Rich, and he gave us a bunch of pointers, you know, and of course, within a few years, you know, he was the manager helping us build the station. Anyway, yeah, so Marika was a bundle of energy, and once we got the station on the air, she worked as a program director, and it was fun. I don't know what else to say about it.
So what is the gig at the Crystal Saloon?
Oh, well, so Taj Mahal came to Juneau, and he played at this kind of funky bar down on South Franklin called the Crystal Saloon and Ballroom. It was built on pilings, set on kind of out over the bay.
Is it still there?
No, it's gone now. It's all torn down, cruise ship stuff there now. And they would have live music there and a little bar in there. And Taj came and played. And he really liked Alaska. I think that was his introduction maybe to Alaska. And he wound up coming back a number of times. And somebody would always take him sport fishing because he loved fishing. And so he would always rant and rave about the fish he'd caught before the concert, you know. Oh, yes, just got in off the water. It was so much fun, you know. So anyway, he did this gig, and there was a big dance, and the floor was bouncing. We thought maybe the building was going to collapse. And then afterwards, everybody left, and Rick and I, you know, and a couple of people were sitting on the apron of the stage with Taj having a beer and just talking. You know, that's when I realized that this guy, I idolize this guy. You know, he's really cool. So I've seen him perform probably half a dozen times since then, you know, but... So that's why I had to have a Taj song in there. And I actually asked Marika for a song suggestion, and she suggested Taj and one of his most famous songs. So that's the next one up.
Though you've played at love and law, and sorrows turn your heart to frost, I will mend your heart again. Remember the feeling as a child when you woke up and morning smile. It's time, it's time, it's time you felt like that again. There is just no percentage in remembering the past. It's time you learn to live again and love at last. Come with me, leave your yesterday behind. And
take a giant step outside your mind. You stare at me with disbelief. You say for you there's no relief. But girl, I swear it won't do you no harm. Don't sit there in your lonely room, just looking back inside that gloom. Mama, that's not where you belong. Come with me, I'll take you where the taste of a life is green. And every day, hold on, one that just got to be seen. Come with me, leave your yesterday behind. And take a giant step outside your mind. Though you've played with love and loss, the sorrows have turned your heart to frost. I will melt your heart again. Remember the feeling as a child when you woke up in morning smile. It's time, it's time, it's time you felt like that again. There is just no percentage in remembering the past. It's time you learn to live again in love and laugh. Come with me, leave your yesterday behind. And take a giant step outside your mind.
One new to do the things. treat me wrong. Oh, it's been a long time coming, but it'll be a long time more. And I said, baby, if you don't, oh, if you don't believe I'm leaving, just have a thing.
What I do, I
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Count the days from Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells. Some early Patti LaBelle on the list. You're listening to The Deserted Island on Earbones, and Steph Steffen is the castaway today that you're hearing on Raven Radio KCAW Sitka. Steph, one of the founders of Raven Radio and a board member for over 30 years, and we've got him on the island with the 10 songs that he would select to have if he were stranded, perhaps forever. So we just heard from Patti LaBelle, and before that, Taj Mahal, Giant Steph. We heard a little bit about Taj Mahal and the concert up in Juneau. Steph, a little bit about why Patti LaBelle is on your list.
I wanted something, a little bit of R&B in the mix, because when I went to college in the Midwest, and this is back in the 60s, I kind of discovered R&B because it, you know, I grew up in Colorado. I was a West Coast kind of kid, and that wasn't really on the playlist very much. It was more like, you know, cowboy music.
And whereabouts in Colorado?
Denver area.
Were you born in Denver?
No, I was born in California. My family moved around. We lived in Salt Lake City for a while, and then in Denver. Denver is where I went through high school and most of grade school. But when I got to the Midwest, this is kind of a funny story. I'll try to keep it short. But in the freshman dorm, my roommate was this guy from Philly, and he was Italian Stallion is the best way to describe him. He had – I just remember when he unpacked and he was, like, putting his stuff in the closet. He had, like, 25 dress shirts and 25
wow.
pair of slacks, you know, and all this. And I'm looking at my little, you know, couple of things over in the corner there, and I'm going, oh, man, I'm so outclassed right now. Anyway, I don't remember his name, but he would we had this record player in the room, and he would put on this R&B music and dance around the room. And I had never heard that kind of music before. And, boy, I tell you what, it gets you going, you know.
So
anyway, that is where I got my first appreciation of that genre, R&B music and soul, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to have at least one tune from that genre in there. So
when you were growing up, do you have brothers and or sisters or both? Or?
I have a couple of brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one brother is like 2 years younger than I am. The other is 7 years younger. Yeah, we grew up in Denver. We grew up kind of rural, kind of on the edges, the fringes of Denver, kind of some farms around there, and it was a good upbringing. They both live in Wyoming now, up mm-hmm. in coal country, and it was good.
Well, what was in the record stack at home when you were very first aware of music and records? Do you remember anything in that early stack?
My folks had stuff like Herb Alpert, and my dad liked to sing barbershop quartet. Now, they didn't have a lot of barbershop music, but when they had friends over and they'd have cocktails, and then the guys would get together and sing barbershop. So I remember that. So it was, yeah, Perry Como, you know, Sinatra, all that, mm-hmm. that kind of genre stuff. And my first record album was Buffalo Springfield's first album. And I think my second album was The Doors' first album.
And how did you get those? Did you save up money and go get them, or were they gifts?
I bought them. I took my allowance money and bought them. Yeah. Yeah, and I loved Buffalo Springfield. That was... Totally
yeah,
into
too.
Those guys, yeah. They were like,
so
wow.
List today.
Yeah, I should have put that in my list. I didn't even think of it till you asked that question. But that'll be next time I get marooned on an island. We'll put that on there, and maybe the Doors, you know. But
you were in the Midwest, landlocked. Tell us a little about how you went from that to being a shipwright.
I know, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's convoluted, but I was an engineering student, electrical engineering, and I put in about 2 years as a double E major, and I kind of hated it.
What did you hate about it?
Well, it was very cerebral. It was math. It was all math. And I realized after a couple of years that the trade I was learning was going to be a desk job, you know. Mm-hmm. It was going to be – computers were just coming in, like Fortran and punch cards and all that. And I saw myself as working either at a computer or a drafting board drawing circuits. And I'm too hands-on for that. And so the other thing that was going on was I got really involved in the anti-war movement and in civil rights, and started a little off-campus newspaper with my roommate from the dorms. And we published this little rag that we distributed free on campus, and it had, you know, news and opinion and poetry, a little prose, and we had enough advertisers to pay the printing costs, and we passed that around. So I started getting into writing a little bit, and I changed majors into journalism college, and I found this, really the staff, the faculty there were less than impressive in my opinion. So I basically dropped out and became a conscientious objector and did a couple of years in a boys' home, a group home for boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
As my alternative duty or service. And when I got to the end of that, some of my old mates from engineering school who had also kind of thrown in the towel, cooked up this scheme to build a sailboat, you know, and go around the world. And they asked me if I wanted to join them. And I said, sure. Yeah, I'm game. Why not? So
wow.
Moved to the West Coast and started building this boat.
Where did you move then?
Moved to this little town on the coast of Washington called Moclips.
Oh,
which
that's
we named
the
boat
the
after. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I was going to ask you what Moclips
is. It's a tiny little place. It's kind of like an end of the road place.
How do you spell it?
Moclips.
Okay.
And it's named after the Moclips River, which is, you know, that's all, you know, Quinault Indian land there. Uh-huh. And Moclips, I understand that it refers to the color of the water. The river flows out of the cedar kind of muskegs. It's pink. The water's kind of tinted pink by the cedar bogs. And so that has to do with red water or something like that.
Do you know what Moclips is like now?
I passed through there about 6 years ago, and it hadn't changed a bit. It's really kind of looking run down and forlorn these days.
Yeah.
You know, it's all logged. The country's all been logged over there several times, and the economy's a shambles and all that. But it has the most beautiful sand beaches, you know, you could ever want. You know, they just stretch on for miles.
So is that where you left to come up to here?
Yeah, well, from Moclips, we got the hull completed and launched it down in Ocean Shores near Aberdeen, and then motored up the coast to Port Townsend. And we were so deprived culturally at that point from living in this town of like 50 people that we just needed to, like, you know, kind of get back, plugged back into society, right? And also we needed to rig the boat and you know, get a little bit better jobs, and we were able to get down there and continue the project. So
that's
how we got up there.
And then how many people built the Moclips?
Well, there were four partners in the beginning, and by the time we got to Port Townsend, there were two of us, and, you know, kind of like the dropout rate thing. And so my buddy Vince and I actually completed the boat and brought it up to Alaska on the maiden voyage. And then Vince eventually spun off onto other things, and I wound up like the proprietor of the Moclips.
Is the Moclips still around?
Yeah, it's in Ketchikan now. Yeah, I sold it years ago, and it's I've seen it down there, so I know it's still floating.
Let's play a little bit more music. We've got a tune from Ricky Lee Jones up next. Do you have anything to say about this tune? And
oh, I just love Ricky Lee. You know, there are other wonderful female artists now, but she, when she started recording, she just had this persona. I don't know how to describe it, but she could sing really bluesy and sad tunes or really upbeat stuff. I just really liked her her lyrics and her music, and I played it a lot on the Good Day Show. So, yeah, she's been one of my favorites for years.
I know this feeling. out my mouth. When you knew that I would need a home, what am I supposed to do now without you? Without you.
A song from a group that I've never heard of before, the Milk Carton Kids. And Steph, how did that end up on your list?
Well, I was playing around on iTunes a while back, 6 months ago or something, and you know, I'm not sure how I ran across them, but I wound up downloading a couple of their albums because I really like them. They were, you know, a little reminiscent of Simon and Garfunkel, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of traditional
Definitely.
That way. Some kind of interesting instrumental work and great lyrics. So, yeah, it's kind of a new band for me. There's just two guys, and I don't even know their names. I couldn't rattle them off for you, but Milk Carton Kids is the name. Their name.
Well, we've been right past the middle of the list. In fact, we only have a couple songs left.
Oh.
And I can't believe, Rachel, that you haven't noticed we haven't had dessert.
Oh, my God.
I remembered and then I forgot. It's time.
It is time.
It's time. I want dessert.
One of Raven Radio's founders, Steph Stephan, is our castaway on the deserted island tonight with 10 songs that he selected in case he was stranded, perhaps forever. These are the songs that he would have with him. And one dessert.
Yep, and, one dessert.
So we're going to post the show, the song list, and the dessert recipe online at kcaw.org. It'll be up this weekend, likely, at some point. And, Steph, tell us, what is the dessert that you would have if you had one dessert?
Well, I would want a dessert that I could sort of, like, subsist on, you know, if I was marooned.
That's very practical.
It is.
It might be the only food, you know, that I had on the island. So, and, you know, there may not be coconuts and all that stuff. So I kind of decided my favorite dessert, which is also really good for you, is carrot cake. Especially that really sweet, sugary icing on there.
That's so good for you. I know.
Oh, it's really good. It gives you the strength to leap tall buildings, you know. So I really like carrot cake, and yeah, it's so good.
It is good.
We'll have the carrot cake up on the website, as well as a recording of the show, and it'll be there in perpetuity. It's kind of like the snapshot of you, Steph, stranded on the island. It'll stay there.
So. That's cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I forget how to make my carrot cake, I can always go back on there and look at the recipe.
Yep, you bet. Well, do you have any tales of shipwriting from your years of being a shipwright in Southeast Alaska?
Tales? Well, let's see, anything really exciting? I liked my work a lot. It was fun working with wood and working with the fishermen. You know, 95% of what I did was on fishing boats. It was a great way to find my way into this community. When I first pulled into Sitka, there was a fellow by the name of John Williams who was a shipwright, and the only shipwright at that moment. There had been others in the past, but at that point in time, John was kind of holding down the fort. And I remember going out to Allen Marineways, and he was laying under this boat corking or something, and he looked really miserable, you know. And I thought, well, you know, gosh, is there much of this kind of work around here? Because maybe I could do some of that miserable work too. Anyway, it turned out there was a lot of it, and I rented a shop space and had all the work I could handle, really, from the get-go.
You used a term that I think not everybody knows.
Yeah.
You said he was lying under the boat corking. So we're talking about primarily a wooden fleet. Is that true when you came here?
Yeah, at that time it was pretty much, it was, I wouldn't say all wooden boats, but a lot of wooden boats, yeah. And the corking is just, you know, the boats are planked up and there are little seams in between these planks and you drive cotton and oakum in these seams and then put some putty over that. And that's what accommodates the movement of the wood, the drying and the swelling and the shrinking and the moving in the ocean and all that keeps the boat from taking on water. So.
And did you say you stuff cotton and oak?
Oakum. It's actually hemp. It's like this really fibrous material that's been treated with pine tar, so it smells a little bit like pine tar. Mm-hmm. And you pull these big, it comes in these big bundles, and you pull it out, and you have to spin it. So it's like it's almost like taking raw wool and spinning it into yarn.
Yeah.
You have to spin it into a uniform little rope kind of that you can, you know, fold into the seams. So you kind of sit there for hours with a bucket and a bale of oakum, and you take your hand on your knee and you just kind of roll this and pull it and roll it and pull it and make mm-hmm. this little rope that then you drive in. So,
and you drive it in with what tools?
Well, it's called a corking iron, and it looks sort of like a putty knife in a way. It's solid steel, and it's pretty sturdy compared to a putty knife, and it's They come in different thicknesses. So depending on how wide your seam is, use a very thin iron or a thicker one. And you do little tucks, and you tuck this material in, and then you go back and pound it in, and then you go forward and make a bunch more tucks and pound it in. And when that's all tight, if it's a big seam, then you go over with the oakum on top of that. And it should last for 15 or 20 years after that.
Sounds like something I would like to do.
Well, we should.
I'm good at that kind of thing.
We'll stick you under a boat.
Well, it's kind of boring, you know. You'll spend 8 hours a day for 2 weeks corking a boat up, you know, and you have to wear your ear protectors because that mallet hitting that little iron is so loud. It makes this high pitched clinking sound.
Yeah,
and you're doing it like hundreds of times an hour. So, but anyway,
maybe not.
You might not like it. I don't know. It might get boring for you.
Well, we've got a couple more songs, and so let's play this tune from. It's a couple of guys actually, and I'm going to make sure that we've got. It's a song
Speaking
about
of
the corkscrew. So it fits right in. We've got two guys, and it's. I'm not sure how we. Tim Eddie or Edie?
Edie. He pronounces it Edie.
And so we've got Tim Edie and Brendan Power, and these guys are doing a couple of are they Irish tunes, Steph?
Yeah, it's traditional music. Tim plays a squeeze box and a harmonica, and I first was introduced to him in Cape Breton a couple of falls ago when we went to this Celtic festival there called the Celtic Colors Festival, which I highly recommend. To anyone, it's the most fun you've ever had, and takes place all over Cape Breton in churches and in pubs and in halls, and people come from all around, and even from the lower 48. There's some traditional southern music that finds its Cajun music. You know, there's a niche of Cajun players that comes up. Anyway, Tim is this really energetic guy who is kind of like the Irish elf. He lends hilarity to every event, and so Judy and I just started following him around. Wherever he was playing, we'd go. And so I think you'll enjoy the energy of this music. So I've got a couple of his recordings, you know, of course. So enjoy.
The Corkscrew and Mountain Road.
I was written after a good night in Ireland's second city. It's called The Corkscrew. Thank you.
Tim Eady and Brendan Power, The Corkscrew, and Mountain Road. Well, we've got one song left on the list with Steph, who's our castaway today. And before we get to that song, you brought up the nice trip that you took to the Celtic Festival. And I know that you took a trip. Boy, Steph, I kind of think I'm wanting to say last year, but I think it was 2 years ago now at this point that you went down to Brazil.
Right. We did a fall trip down there. We actually went, we joined our friends, the Carlsons, from town here. And it was a kind of a coffee tour sort of thing, because we buy coffee from this guy in Bisbee, Arizona. His name is Seth, Old Bisbee Roasters, and he's pretty phenomenal coffee roaster. And he does a trip every few years for coffee lovers, and you usually go somewhere where they grow coffee, and you visit the finca or the coffee farm, meet the people that are making the coffee. You know, his whole philosophy is from the grower to the user and eliminate middlemen, and he's got a great philosophy, and it's mostly sustainably farmed and organic farming as much as possible. So anyway, we decided to go on this trip to Brazil, which was a long way for a couple of weeks of going to coffee places, but it turned out to be really interesting. So we flew into Sao Paulo and then spent a day or two there and went over to Rio, and then we spent a couple of days in Rio, and then we got on this bus and we started driving all around and went through some mountain towns and met a couple of coffee growers up in the mountains, and this one in particular around Ouro Preto, which is this beautiful mountain town that was famous for gold mining. And the town actually sits on a bunch of shafts or tunnels, but it's gorgeous there, and it's kind of the old provincial architecture. You know, it's funny how mining towns get this beautiful provincial architecture, brick and stone and all that. I guess it's just because there's lots of money and associated with mining. But and we met this young guy who was kind of taking the farm over from his father, and Brazil has been known in the past for commodity farming. They just grow coffee and they pick it all with machines, and it's nothing fancy. But this young guy was trying to, you know, grow a different kind of product, and he had his own little roasting thing going. And we had a cupping at the ranch, and we actually had lunch there with he and his family, and it was really fun. We walked around in the fields. So that was cool. And we rode around, and we called it the banana bus because it was this yellow bus. And after a week, we were kind of tired of the banana bus. You know, we covered enough roads in the banana bus that we just were ready to walk to the next village, you know, at one point. But it was a great trip. I'd never been in Brazil. The people are nice there. It's kind of an expensive place to travel. And, of course, now they're getting ready to host, you know, the World Cup, followed by Olympics. So they're really up to their neck in it right now. Those big cities that I mentioned have horrible slums, and there's a big dichotomy between rich and poor there that they need to come to grips with. But it's a beautiful country, and it was a really fun trip. So glad I did it. Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's always interesting to hear about where people go. It's kind of part of us is what we choose to do and where we go to see. Yeah. We've got one last song to reveal on your list here, Steph. And as you came down to picking the last song of your list of 10, what was going through your mind? Did you know this was going to be it, or were you casting around hoping for the right last song?
I was casting, definitely. Yeah, I had 9 songs that I was pretty confident in, and I just didn't know what to do for number 10. So I just kind of did what a lot of people do, I guess. They go on the internet and start listening to music. And so I like this song. It's, you know, it doesn't rank as high as songs that I might listen to for the rest of my life. You know, I don't know. I might change my mind after a while, but I just kind of like these guys. So, you know, I thought it might be fun to play something that was new to me and just share it with listeners, and you know, maybe somebody else will like it too.
Once a good day radio show host. Always.
That's right. Just running around trying to find something on the shelf that will fill the next slot. Right.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same. I know the shame in your defeat. I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again. To fill my time, you take what is yours and I'll take mine. Now let me at the truth which will refresh my broken mind. So tie me to a post and block my ears. I can see where those orphans through my tears, and know my cold despite my faults and despite my growing fears. But walking on your hands and see the world hanging upside down. You can understand dependence when you know the maker's land. So make your sirens call and sing all you want. I will not hear what you have to say, 'cause I need freedom now, and I need to know how to live my life as it's meant to be.
I should say that neither Steph or Rachel had anything to do with that spontaneous pause in our musical selection.
His eyes just kind of rolled back, and I don't know what happened.
Too much carrot cake.
Mumford and Sons with a song called The Cave. Stefan, thank you so much for coming in to be our guest on Deserted Island.
Hey, it's been really fun. Thank you for having me in.
What are you doing these days? You've stepped down from the Raven Radio Board after more than 30 years, and I think I can have about thousands of voices echo mine. Thank you for helping found, for being early on the air, and for your wonderful, awesome time and effort on the Raven Radio Board through thick and thin, through two renovations, muscle and brain and brawn. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's been really fun. I've been a benefactor, really.
Well, where next? What are you doing? What? You're still going to be listening to Raven Radio, and you're still going to be in and around. We're not casting you away in any sense. In fact, I'm working on getting you back on the Good Day Radio show. But any other boards, any other activities?
Well, yeah. In fact, probably the main reason I decided to it was time to get off the Raven board is because I'm on the music, the Sick Summer Music Festival board. I'm the president now, and we have just gotten through this huge transition from Paul Rosenthal as our artistic director to Zuhal Bailey, and we have a new Caleb Betcher is our new ED, executive director, and that transition was pretty huge. And then, you know, with the SJ campus closing down and Stevenson Hall going up for sale, going up on the auction block more or less, we really wanted to try to re-inhabit that building because that's where our musicians stayed gratis mm-hmm. for years while SJ, you know, was still going on. But we didn't have the money to do it. And fortunately for us, someone stepped up and said, we'll front the money for the time being. We'll loan you the money, essentially, or at least secure the building until you can raise enough money to buy it. And so we're in that position now of trying to raise enough money to buy the building. And we've gone through the Foraker process, much like Sitka Sound Science Center and the library and others have done. It's a planning process you go through with them to help you devise a good business plan. So after we make ourselves, you know, become the owners of the building, then we're faced with a pretty major renovation because it needs a lot of work. So it's a huge job, and, you know, the board has never taken on anything like this before. We've always just been program oriented. Mm-hmm. So we do the June programs. We do some programs in Anchorage in the fall and winter. And so now this is an opportunity to have a home base where we can do some classes. We can do residencies, master classes, lots of different things that we could never do before. And we're really excited about it. And we're also working with the Fine Arts Camp and with kids. Mm-hmm. And that's just starting to happen now. I think the last two summers we've been kind of, you know, sticking our toe in the water there a little bit. So this is going to be a lot of work, and I felt like I wanted to devote more time to that. So,
lots of exciting things happen in this town.
I'll say. Yeah, Sitka is an amazing place.
I think I see a ship on the horizon.
Oh, great!
And I think. Maybe there's even a helicopter on the horizon there that's coming in.
We're going to lower down the basket.
Jump in the basket. Steph, you're rescued.
Okay,
and
I'm rescued.
Sent back to Sitka, the community that loves you. You have all the music in the world.
All the carrot cake.
Yeah, I think. All a person can eat, anyway.
Well... again, thank you so much for being on the deserted island. It was a pleasure.
Yes.
Well,
so good
it's been
to get
wonderful,
to know
you
better.
Guys. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. It's really fun for me. And thanks for doing this show, too. It's a great show.
You're welcome.
It's fun.
All right. Well, top of the evening.